I know when I start singing, the congregation of everybody. Amen. We're going to just ask the Lord to talk to us today. I have searched my heart, searched my mind, searched my spirit, and the Lord gave me a topic almost a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And it has been preached and preached and preached, even in this congregation. And I just trying to come from another angle, and we're going to just ask the Lord to talk to us. Especially because we see what is going on in the world, what is going on in our midst, what is going on in the body of believers. That is the one reason why we need the Lord to talk to us, to help us. Amen. Let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and talk to us today. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. And speak through our mouth, Lord, to the glory of your name. Open our heart, Lord, to receive your word and to tremble at your word, Lord. And then search ourselves whether we be in the faith. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was sad that a brother, one of our beloved brethren, was laid to rest yesterday. And many of us were there. And I will thank the Lord because we trust the Lord that He is in the bosom of the Lord. And there was a message that was presented to all of us, even during that exhortation, during the ceremony, that kind of touches many believers, many brethren, about how we have been believing. How we believers have been believing. But the Lord laid something upon my heart that also is not in line, it's in line with that, it's continuation, I call it continuation of that. For we believers in Christ. Believers in Christ Jesus. And that is the word the Lord gave to me, is we need to talk about humility. I preached it 2 times in this audience. 2008, if you go to my website, you will see humility sermon there. 2012, you will see humility sermon there. But this time, it says humility. I say, Lord, we are many times going to preach humility because we have not gotten it. Amen. And this time, this kind of humility is spiritual humility. It's what we are going to talk about. Spiritual humility. Because our major problem in the band of believers, especially we Africans, let me not say Nigerians, is spiritual pride. And so that's why we need spiritual humility. I said, the Lord gave me this topic almost 2 weeks ago, and I've been remunerating on it. I said, Lord, and the Lord led me to this story in 1 Kings chapter 22. Let's go straight to that. 1 Kings chapter 22. That is what story I'm going to base this sermon on. 1 Kings chapter 22. Many Bible believers, many Bible scholars, they know this story. From the beginning, from verse 1, I'm going to summarize the story, but I only have 2 verses I actually want to talk about. Let me give you a summary of what was happening in 1 Kings chapter 22. It was in the days of King Ahab. Somehow God had given him some victory. We know Ahab was a wicked king, but God gave him some victories against the king of Syria. And then came this particular occasion, he had a visitor, the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. So while he was entertaining this king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and they were sitting in the open space, almost like an open arena where he was invited, entertaining his visitors, and he had all his servants around him, like you can call a what do you call it, a royal palace, a royal place dedicated for just welcoming dignities. Then a thought came to him, and that is what we see in this story. In verse 2, let me start from verse 3. He said, and the king of Israel, that's here, said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Well, something just come upon him. He thought about what belonged to them. That let's take it back. Now, where we are going is in verse 11, but let's go on. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to Baruch, to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat wanted to be certain that we really do this. Let's ask God. Does God want us to do this? And that's not the story. The story is not about Jehoshaphat or about the king of Ahab. We are going to somewhere here. Just follow me. I want to just leave this background. So verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Now remember, this Bible didn't say he gathered the prophets of Baal. No, these are not prophets of Baal. They are just prophets. They say there is a difference between prophets and the one that God is talking to. But the warning the Lord is sounding when I say spiritual pride, we get to that in the next, when we get to the verse 11. So king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, that was the visitor. He just was not satisfied with all this bunch of prophets. And he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, besides all of this, that we may inquire, that we might inquire of him? Verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, oh, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now you can see then the difference. That Micaiah the son of Imlah was hated by the king because he never prophesied good, which means those 400 prophets, they always prophesied good. The king asked them as a string on them, so they were, because they are feeding from him, they want. And that is something else. That's not the topic we are talking about. I'm talking about humility, which we get to in a moment. But this, just by the way, that it is a little digression. Very soon you will be prophesying good to the king. A little digression, that's what we are going to. I'm just putting that on the side burner, but for now, that is what is going on. These other 400 prophets, some of them could have been hearing from God. That's what I want you to think about. These 400 prophets, some of them could have been good prophets. They have been hearing from God. But the love of money, the love of prestige, wanting to associate with dignitaries, very soon they will digress, because they're now prophesying good to the king. If they don't, they won't get their money, they won't get the benefits and the privileges. Let's go on, because I'm going to verse 11. But the Jehoshaphat knew that we want somebody else that can have some other opinion. So he said, let not the king say that. He said, I hate the man. He said, let don't say that. Let's just hear what he is going to say. And the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imlah, Now, before I go further, let me point to you that in these days, Elijah the prophet was in the land. Elijah the prophet, you all know the story of Elijah the prophet, no sir. But why didn't he call Elijah the prophet? Why was he not summoned? You don't, kings, you can, king can summon people that they can summon, but you see, Elijah only listens to the Lord. So he's not going to summon Elijah, because Elijah is not, they don't even know where he lives. But if you are dancing with the crowd, dancing with the kings, well, he can summon you, of course. But even those that he can summon, the one that will still not submit to the kingly, submit to whatever the king is dishing out, he will hate him. So that is what you say about it. That's why he could call Imla, because he's already under the king's control. He's already in prison. You have to remember, this man, Micaiah, has been arrested and put in prison. So he knew where he could get him, not Elijah the prophet. Now let's go on. So they went and called Micaiah the son of Imla. Now verse 10 said, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, they sat each on his throne, often put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now verse 11 is where really I am going when I say spiritual pride. There is one prophet among them called Zedekiah the son of Kenana. He even made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with this shall thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Well, that can be one of the guys that he knew all those symbols. He knew the horns represent a king, power. And he said he has heard from the Lord. Now he even brought a horn of iron. He said, well, we don't want, in Israel, those days they used the ram's horn. He said, well, no, that's old fashioned. He has the horn of iron. So he's saying, you will blow this horn and these people will just be melting before you. Now he's now putting his own ideas and all his desires. And he's saying, thus saith the Lord with it. And made him. Well, this man may have heard from God before. Like I said, people could have been listening to the Lord. God is, has been using them, but the day they begin to digress to please the dignities, that's when the Holy Ghost will withdraw. The Holy Ghost, because the Bible also says something that God resisted the proud. The day people begin to digress because of pride also, God withdraw. Because God withdraw. There was a sermon that we preached before. The Lord said, when we put on the armor, every armor God gave to us, there's no armor for our back. It's a shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. But what is for the back? Nothing. God is to keep our back. So we shouldn't run from the enemy. But see, when you started being proud, God withdraws and then your back is exposed. So the spirit of pride comes from the back. So what we see here, this man could have been hearing from God before, because you see when he went further, and they all were talking about this, and he went and got a horn of iron and said, this is what you are going to even use. Thus hear the Lord. Now the messenger, verse 13, that was going to call Micaiah, speak unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. And speak that which is good. I mean, try to give him some advice. You have been in prison. You are the only one. All the other prophets are enjoying their life. Well, you have to be in prison. Speak good to the king. But Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, oh, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Well, the king could read that was a sarcasm right there. Maybe the tone he used. But he has heard all the other prophets prophesying and dancing and jumping and speaking in tongues. They speak in tongues. That's what he mean by prophesying. So it's not the speaking in tongues, it's not the gifts. And that's why I'm going to warn one another when I begin to talk to this about this topic. humility. But I'm trying to bring this story of this man called Zedekiah, the son of Kenana. He was so sure of himself. And many of us are too sure of ourselves. To the point that when we begin to, you know, praising the Lord and the Lord is giving something to us, we begin to think, wow, we are. Let me quote something from Charles Spurgeon. I just read this some days ago. He was talking about this same thing called humility. And Charles Spurgeon, many of you guys may know, one of those old timers that have passed on, he said, long enjoyment of the master's presence alone. I mean, the Lord's presence. You are always in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord, you enjoy the presence of the Lord and you are now receiving dreams and visions, can even make you to be proud. Because we have all been there. It's a long enjoyment of the master's presence has a tendency to make us proud. And what he said about that, he said, it's better not to sit too near the fire, or one may get scorched. I mean, when you are even in presence of the Lord, he said you can even become proud because of that enjoyment. You say, wait, I pray the Lord answered me. And then very soon you are bragging about it. You say, the Lord can quickly depart from the proud. So that's why I'm trying to just bring this story of Zedekiah, the son of Kenana. Let's go on to that story again. Verse 16. And the king said unto Micaiah, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Well, you want to hear the truth? Here it is. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jephthah, did I not tell you? He will prophesy no good concerning me, but evil. So say, Micaiah continued the story. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. The reason why I'm reading the whole story is there are parts to this story. Even the story, what he's going to tell us right now, the counsel that he saw in a vision of heaven, where he said the Lord sat on the throne, his servants on his right, on his left, is pertinent to what we are talking about here. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Which means, even before the idea came to Ahab to go and fight, there had been a council in heaven. And God said, who shall go and persuade Ahab to go and fall? Nothing happens on this planet unless the Lord God ordered for it. Nothing. Even those evil things that we think is evil, God ordered for it. They say he permitted it. And you see, not only for his own people, even for the world that are unbelievers. So don't think God has lost control. ISIS killing people in Syria. God has not lost control of this planet. Oh, some mass murderers are killing people everywhere. Boko Haram in Africa. God has not lost control. He allowed it for his own purpose. When we understand that, it will make us to humble ourselves in when we want to pray. Because sometimes, oh, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can pray. Not that you don't pray, but humble. Humility is what God is looking for first. Otherwise, you'll be praying in vain, number one. Or you can even be standing in the way of the angel that said, the Lord has sent me on this errand. Don't stand in my way. That was what they said to Josiah. Josiah, the king of Judah, that's his different story. Just me bringing that is, we can be puffed up to the point that to our own destruction. Even in praying. Because prayer means we are trying to do something for God. Nothing. Josiah wanted to go and conquer, fight against Egypt. Because Egypt was going to fight another country. He said, well, why are you standing in my way? God, my God, send me. He said, is it my God or your God? My God or your God? He said, but God of heaven told me to go and fight. Why are you standing in my way? And the Bible said Josiah didn't listen. That's what it wrote in the Bible. The Bible said Josiah didn't listen to the word of the Lord through the mouth of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I said, you mean Pharaoh was serving God? Those are all questionable things, but you see, those are the things that were recorded so that we can learn from them. There are sometimes we have to be humble. Let me continue with this story, because that is just another example of what we mean by spiritual pride. Josiah was very close to God in those days, very, very close to God, but spiritual pride. That's why God says humility is the opposite of spiritual pride. Now, let's continue with this story of Zedekiah, son of Kenana. As Micaiah was saying the story, said the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Verse 21. Continue verse 20. I said, and one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. Verse 21. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now listen. The Bible said there came forth a spirit. But that was a lying spirit. It came from pit of hell, which means God sent some spirit from the pit of hell to go do the job. But when they come from that type of environment, they have authority from heaven. You can go and stand in their way. They will say, no, I have a higher authority. But I am a son of God. But you say, I have a higher authority that told him to go do this. That is why we have to be fearing God and humble ourselves before God. Otherwise, we'll be bragging our shoulder and thinking we are somebody. And it has happened over and over and over again that the Lord can smack somebody on the side and let the work go, let the job be done. So that is what this guy, that spirit that came forth and said, I will persuade him, is not one of the angels, not one of the hosts of heaven. It must have come from somewhere. But God, when he wants to do something, the Bible says even the wicked was created for God, for the days of evil. So that spirit came in verse 22, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How will you persuade him? And he said, I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So now, just like the Lord God allowed Satan to go and test Job, he allowed that lying spirit to go and do the job. To make us to begin to say, I want to fear God. Just humbling yourself before God. Now that lying spirit came, but you see, he couldn't go to Micaiah. Why? Because he is not one of the prophets of the king. That's the difference right there. So that's why Micaiah, he was in prison, but he saw this thing in a vision. And he came and told them, but they won't believe, not so. They didn't believe him. But this is where I'm going. Verse 23. Now therefore, said Micaiah, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Well, who wants to hear that? Not those prophets, 400 prophets. They will beat him down. And that's really what happened. Verse 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Now that is the spiritual pride that bring all these stories I've been telling you. That's a statement alone. This is the spiritual pride that bring all these stories I'm telling you. It's inculcated in many believers. Many of us are so sure of ourselves. We are so sure of what we have been receiving, especially we have been having dreams. Wow, that vision I saw, that must be what's happening. And we just bring that vision now, apply it, and that is what really happening here. And very soon, we may be wrong. And then we begin to judge concerning, according to that vision, according to what we have. Oh, you know, I've been so praising the Lord, and the Lord is answering my prayer. I can pray about this. Leave it to me. I will pray about that. That may be the reason why the devil will not obey you. It has occurred and occurred. Example of that story was in the days when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. Peter and James and John, they went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountain, and one man brought his lunatic son to the rest of the disciples. You know the story. They couldn't cast him out. You know why? The Bible said they were actually debating who among us should be the chiefest. They're not talking about the Peter, James, and John, but it's the same thing. It's the pride. It's why the devil doubt. The devil can read it, and refuse to obey. Why? Because he could see sin. Because God resisted the proud. And many times that will be the reason why the power, the miracles will not happen, because there is spiritual pride in the camp, in one person. That one person that is not submitting is going to be pride also. Let me continue with this story. So he just went and smote Micaiah in the mouth. Why? Because he was so sure of himself. How come, when did the Spirit of God leave me and come and talk to you? So he was so sure of himself. And that is where you see spiritual pride. And the same thing is plaguing the body of Christ nationwide, worldwide. All of us that are coming from Africa, we have a lot of those things riding upon our souls. And that's why God said, before honor is humility. We want to be humble before the Lord. We want to be humble. One of the things that I have learned recently is that there are three types of pride, or these areas where pride can occur, or even the same way we have to show humility in those 3 areas. Before the Lord uses you, we need to show humility. When the Lord is using you, we need to continue to show humility. After the Lord has used you, I mean after the success, you still need that humility. Because the devil, there was a place where we said, after the greatest success, that's when the devil actually come in to derail many of the believers or many of the preachers or anything. I mean, after great success, say you are the champion in this Olympics, and then people are praising you, then you know that you want to be humble also. Because when they are heaping praises upon you, you want to show humility, lest you offend the Lord. Now, when you are running the race, when you are still, and the devil can whisper and say, well, oh, you are doing great, you are the greatest, you are the chiefest, you are the number one. You want to show humility also, not so. Otherwise, that achievement suddenly can turn around. When you are preparing to just be used by God, you need humility also, not so. You say, well, I have not been used yet. Remember the story of Joseph in Egypt. He was only just hearing, seeing dreams of he was going to become somebody. That's still being, still prepared to be used by God. But because he was young, and many of us are like that, every one of us, including myself, when I was in Nigeria, I have written so many proud things in my book, don't you need to say, go back to those things you written in the 1980s, in the 1970s. And I will read, this is, no wonder, you have more problem with your own brethren when you are just preparing. Your problem will be more with your bread, just like Joseph. His problem was not with, all he was saying was, they were right. God told me I was going to become the greater. You all will bow down to me. That was what he was telling them. It was correct. But they don't want to hear that. So he had more problem with his own brethren. That's why they sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. So whatever pride that is that you are allowing during the time you are just preparing to be used by God, it will have more problem with those people you are telling. They will be so angry at it, they wanted to kill you or derail it. That is the major, that's the first challenge. When the Lord is using you, you can all remember that mighty revivals are going on, and then the devil came in and began to make them bow down to the, and they are sharing the glory, and then the Lord cannot use them anymore. Or after the success has taken place and they are now heaping praise on you, they can come in around that time also. We want to guide ourselves to be humble in all those 3 stages of being used by the Lord. Being used by the Lord. Let me throw this one in. This is going to be for most of you wives. Let me tell you this. Most of you wives, don't want me to say this to you. If the Lord is putting something on your heart, you are really excited and you are praising the Lord and so forth, Be humble. If you are not humble, let me just put it this way. Anytime you begin to rail and challenge the one that you'll be submitting to, you are already proud. Awesome. What is pride? When you begin to raise up your voice or try to control the one you should be submitting to, you are already proud. Awesome. That's pride in itself. Well, somebody can reverse it and say, well, you should be listening to me. If you are not listening to me as I'm the wife, you're also proud. Well, you can also see that way. So you have to say that this pride thing, it is the final battle. And it's the one that is most tricky, that can derail many people from going into the kingdom of God, from even getting the glory they really want. I mean, the glory they want. And they can be demoted easily. That's one of the reasons why we want to put that humility to be the most important thing in our life. Humility. The most important thing in our life. We need to check ourselves daily and say, gee, is this thing I'm trying to say, how will it be? How will it be construed? How will it be understood? How will it be accepted? All of those things that can make me feel if I step my boundary. Even between we believers and the Lord, you can step your boundary. Do you know that? Why the Bible says you can lord it over. When you lord it over the flock of Christ, it's pride. And the Lord says, that means you step beyond your boundary. Just the same way as you can say a wife step beyond the boundary when she is dealing with her husband this way. The same way we can step beyond our boundary when we deal with taking the position that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ in his household. I can give you testimonies, but I'm not going to give testimonies because it's going to be like a year, really. People have been smitten because they stepped through their boundaries. And we don't want to be talking that makes it feel like you know about that, you know about this. No, these things are real. And most of the time, our problem, the suffering we are suffering in the body of Christ, the pinching, the spanking, the troubles we are suffering, it is because of stepping our boundaries, even with the Lord, stepping our boundaries. Take another example. If you are making more money than your wife, than your husband, which is very easy in America here, very easy to make money. Why? Because look at the nations. It's easier for a woman in America right now to get a job than for a man if they're probably looking for a job. So because it's very easy also for a woman to make more money. Now, if you make more money in your salary than your husband, does that mean you can't do the submission anymore? Can you still be the submissiveness? You know, that submissiveness thing. Say, well, I'm now the bread maker, the bread winner. Should I still be submitting to you? Well, that's where you begin to say, what the Lord is saying is, this humility is something that we need to pray for, work on, and search ourselves and really cry unto the Lord for, so that he can help us. So that he can help us. Let me just give you some Bible verses, and then we're going to pray and minister to one another. Open to 1 Peter chapter 5, from verse 5 to 7. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 7 to 7. So likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, ye all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 66, and read verse 2. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. of a contrite spirit. The Lord wants us to have that humility in our lives. We need it. We need it desperately. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, the Lord gave us this story of the two men that went to the temple to pray. Just because he wanted us to see that, see when we say humility, even in praying, even when we are praying, we want to show humility when we are talking to God. So that's, I was telling a sister, I said, see, if men are praying and they just prayed, be careful, don't go back and start your own prayer, because it's very important. Don't go back and start your own prayer. So well, but what about if the Lord tell me to go and pray? Which means the prayer that he just prayed, he didn't hear that. It's your prayer that is waiting for. We want to show humility, be careful. And an example of prayer that can be wrong is what the Lord just showed to us in Luke chapter 18 here. Verse 10. Verse 9 said he speak the parable. We say, well, he's talking about self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the pride, no sir. And most of those things we are talking about is self-righteousness. Before I talk to this story, who can remember the story of Jim Baker? Many of us that have lived in America, you know the story of Jim Baker, televangelist Jim Baker. No sir. Oh, well, he did something many years ago in the 80s or 90s. That was a scandal. Went to prison. Now, if you hear his name again, that well, he's still ministering. He's come back and he's ministering. You, there will be something, something hit a hurt in you. You despise him in your mind. No, sir. But you don't know whether he repented and the Lord has dealt with him. And that despising him in your mind, well, that man, that is plaguing believers. Because human beings cannot forgive. They say, oh, Father, he didn't hurt me. But you see, when you heard his name, you remember what he did 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and you never forgive. But God could have forgiven. He could have, I don't say he did, I'm saying he could have repented and God could have dealt with him. And he's forgiven, but you have not forgiven him. Self-righteousness. Remember Jimmy Swaggart? Many years ago, in the 90s, he also had a scandal that dropped his ministry down. And maybe he went back now, he's on the television somewhere. If you hear his name that he's coming to town, he's the same evangelist, the same court comes to hold that man. Self-righteousness. You do not know whether he has repented and God has dealt with him and he has been forgiven. But that self-righteousness spirit stays with many believers. They despise him now for bad. King David. Let me tell you the story of King David. The man after God's own. Do you think he's still a man after God's own heart? Do you think he was still a man after God's own heart? Or it was until he did that? When he committed the adultery with Bathsheba and killed the husband of that woman, Bathsheba. A man after God's own heart. But some of the people may not realize that he has repented and God didn't say, you are no more a man after my heart. Somebody like Ahithophel. It was in the story that Ahithophel was like a great uncle for that woman. You can imagine why Ahithophel hated this thing. He must have hated David for what David did. He must have hated him because you were there when this would your niece or second, you know, great niece married this young man, a military guy, and you love the man and he's very humble, and you heard that this king killed my son-in-law. He hate the king, and he was his friend. David was his friend. He was a counselor for David. That was why he joined Absalom. According to these people understood that it must have been the reason why he joined Absalom against King David. But now David could have David repented and God has forgiven David, but not Ahithophel. David was suffering from this thing that he has done, but there are many people that will never forgive what he has done. Up till now, people will still remember that. They say, God is saying, David has been accepted, he has been forgiven. But human beings don't normally forgive. Remember that. Because man don't ever forgive, self-righteousness ride upon our shoulders. That when we remember what they did many years ago, it makes us to still despise them, which is now an offense for we that are despising those whom God has, that have repented, God has forgiven them. Because when God is forgiving them, he didn't come back and tell me, hey, Uncle Bragulus, I've already forgiven that man. He doesn't consult with me. God didn't consult with me. Neither did that man consult me and say, well, you see, all you people are for repented now. If he did it before me, maybe he would have done that before me too. See? But self-righteousness is we believers have been letting it ride upon us to the point that we may not even realize that God has, these people have dealt with God and God has forgiven them and we are still holding it against them. Very important for us to remember to be like Christ. We must have the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ. So let me go back to that story in Luke chapter 18. The Lord Jesus Christ gave this story, this parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, that's Luke chapter 18, verse 10. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now everything he was saying, definitely he was right, but see, God say we need to be humble before him. God is looking at humility, because when you begin to do that, you are now, whose standard are you comparing with now? Whose standard? Yes, comparing with the standard of men, but see, God is higher up. You are comparing with the standard of God. So it is the mercy of God that is even listening to us. It's this mercy. So by the time you get to have the self-righteousness to rule over you, to make you to judge that guy and condemn that guy and judge that guy and condemn that church, now you are now dealing with the standard of God. Are you also? Not the standard of men. You are condemning them because of your own standard, because you feel you should be more righteous than them. That's why I brought in the story of Jimmy Swagger, the story of King David, because Ahithophel destroyed himself because of that. You all know the story. If you have not read the story, go and read it. The story of Ahithophel, because he joined Absalom against King David, who was his friend. But see, remember, Christ is saying we have to deal with self-righteousness also. The one he is looking to is the one that is humble. No matter how sinful he has been, God is saying he will listen to that prayer because that man is humbling himself before him. Verse 13 says, and the publican, standing afar off, will not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledged his sin. And Christ said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. We want to come into prayer. Let's go. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet. We're going to pray for ourselves, the body of Christ, that the Lord will help us. Let's stand up to our feet and talk to the Lord. I'm going to minister to one another right now. That the Lord will help us in the body of Christ to deal with this self-righteousness and to try to pray for humility. Humility, humility, humility in our heart, in ourselves. Humility before God. Humility in our praying. In our prayer, sometimes you listen to how some people pray, you wonder, gee, this is, they think they have God on the leash. They know how the God moves everything. How God moves, they can tell you how he moves. No, it doesn't move the way you say. It is this way God moves. God has thousands of ways he can move. But we need that humility when we are talking to the Lord, when we are dealing with one another, when we are dealing with things of God. Pray for yourself right now. Pray for yourself. And just ask the Lord, that Lord, help me with this humility. Nigeria has been plagued. The government of Nigeria has been plagued because there is lack of humility. They couldn't find a leader. Not that there are no leaders, but the leaders are fighting one another. Awolowo and Asikwe in their days, who will be president between me and you? When they went, they couldn't submit to one another. Pride going before destruction. Let us pray for ourselves. In the body of Christ, pray for yourself. Lord, help me. Help me. These things, they are spirits. I want you to understand that. They are spirits and they fly and land upon somebody's soldier and whisper. Before you know it, you are hearing. And if it's another spirit, they make you feel an anointing and you think you are right. And you can never be wrong. And that is, you are too sure of themselves. They are so sure that they are right. But when the Lord withdraws, another spirit took over King Saul. And they won't know when that spirit came over. See, another, he said, an evil spirit. He said, it's from God, but it's like an evil spirit took over King Saul. Once the Holy Ghost withdraws, he does not announce it. And demons don't announce when they come in. And the fellow will feel the same type of feeling. He's still feeling the anointing, some form of anointing. But see, he's now disobedient. He's now not submissive. He's now judging, judgmental. And they don't know that these are all the demons, they're just coming around and bringing, and they will make it feel religious also. And that has been the problem of the church. And no wonder, nothing is going on. Nothing is going on. Let's pray. Let's fall upon our face and pray and say, Lord, help us. Help us. Because we need that humility to serve the Lord. We need that humility to serve the Lord. Father, I don't know whether I've done good justice to this message, but you are the one that can explain it to the hearts. Help us, Lord. Because who can speak except the Holy Ghost interprets to the people's heart? One can be an orator, it will just be words. But Lord, we are praying that you interpret to our hearts so that we humble ourselves before thee. So that we can humble ourselves in dealing with your word, Lord. So that we can know that we do not know everything. We don't know anything at all. He that thinketh is knoweth anything, let him become a fool that he may know. Father God, we don't know anything, Lord. We think we know. But Lord, you only reveal a little bit of your ways to us. And there are still other things you can do. When we think we know this way, this is how God is going to do it, then he does it another way. Just to confound the wise, he said. Father, help us, Lord, not to be too cocky, not to be too proud of ourselves, but to just humbly follow thee. Trembling at thy word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you want us to minister to you, like somebody says, when you talk about humility, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But you got to have the Spirit to have the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want that Holy Ghost help, come forward. You want the Holy Ghost. If you are a visitor here, you need help, you need deliverance, you need prayer. You need this Jesus we are talking about. That can give you humility, because it's actually a fruit of the Spirit. Come, let's pray for you. Come forward, we pray for you. Don't be ashamed. Everybody loves you here. If you just need the touch of Jesus, or you need healing for your body, come forward, we pray for you. And if you just need the Lord's mercy concerning anything, come forward, we pray for you. Because the Lord wants us to minister to one another, minister to his body. And the Lord can minister to you. Come forward, we pray for you. If you need healing for your body, come forward, we pray for you. If you just want the Lord to touch you concerning this pride thing, because pride rises in there, it comes in many flavors. Many flavors. Pride in your business that is getting great. Before you know it, you say, well, should I not say something about this? Pride even in hearing somebody giving testimony. The other person is giving testimony and something is riding upon your shoulder and feeling angry about the testimony. That's also pride. Well, he's proud the way he's saying it. Yeah, you're also proud the way you're hearing it. So that's why we need deliverance. Sometimes deliverance we need. So ask the Lord, come forward. We're going to pray for one another, but I'm going to pray for you. If you have a particular specific prayer request, we'll pray for you. But something about this pride thing, ask the Lord to help you. Now, if you want to ask the Lord to come into your life and give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost is what can give us this fruit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, how are we going to have the fruit? Humility is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So you ask the Lord right now. He is the one that giveth it. No pastor can give you that Holy Spirit. It's the Lord. But sometimes he sends his messenger and say, lay your hand upon them. And when we lay hand, the Lord gives the Holy Ghost. As he sees your heart, he looks at your heart, whether you are serious, whether you really want him. Because the Holy Ghost is Jesus in you. Do you really want Jesus and not what he has in his hand? If you want Jesus, he is free to everybody. But if you don't want Jesus, just want the blessings he has in his hand, you may get the blessing, but you have not got him. But you want Jesus to come to your heart. So come to Jesus right now. Ask Jesus Christ to come and give you himself and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you have been born again, Holy Ghost anointing is what you need. If you have never been born again, you just need to be born again. You need to give your life to Christ. Indicate when I come to you, especially any visitor. Okay?